Moving Iron Podcast is proud to be part of the Global Ag Network. The network is live, so check out globalagnetwork.com for more details and updates. Now on to the show.
Moving Iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving Iron time and time again.
Good morning and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Market Rundown with Angie Setzer. Angie, how are you this morning?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Well, yesterday was a, had a good finish to the day. You know, it was, you know, corn was down, beans were down. I mean, it was just kind of a, compared to what it was last week, you know, we had just kind of had a rough week, and then yesterday we had a pretty good shot in the arm. Sound like we had some news come out of China about buying some stuff. So, tell me about that and what you see happening there.
Yeah, a lot of new stories going on. So, I mean, kind of in, let's go chronological order, perhaps, or order of things that have hit the market structure. You know, first thing that we saw, we finally got caught up with the Commitment of Traders report here last Friday. So that was one of those lagging sort of numbers that we had not seen from the government after the shutdown there. So we did get the Commitment of Traders report and discovered that we basically have seen this huge speculative short buildup, not only in corn where it was a record short, but basically across the spectrum of commodities here. So a lot of times when you see that tend to happen, especially like a record short that we saw in corn, it kind of means that that boat's full. You know what I mean? If you pile the boat all up on one side, then eventually she flips and you turn back and move the other way. And historically, we've seen anytime we've seen a significant speculative short develop in corn, eventually it flips and we see it turn into a relatively significant long. So a lot of folks, you know, after the numbers came out last Friday and it was lower or shorter than anticipated, you know, we were really kind of surprised with some anticipation on the corn moving higher. I'm going to shut the door one second. So that was the first part of what you could say was an exciting sort of change in what was going on there. But also we had the weather forecast. So yesterday morning we got an updated National Weather Service forecast from the government telling us that they anticipate above normal precipitation and below normal temperatures to remain pretty well entrenched across much of the Corn Belt, April, May, June. So that's something that, you know, obviously we've been kind of talking about how delayed we were last fall when it came to getting fall field work done, how much we were behind the eight ball already. We really needed a dry, warm spring in order to get the 92 million acres of corn planted the USDA was anticipating. And so now here we sit, you know, looking at the idea is that flooding, you know, moderate to major flooding is also anticipated throughout much of Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, the Dakotas, Minnesota. So a significant portion of the Western Corn Belt is expected to remain extremely wet for the next couple months. So it also gave corn a shot in the arm. And then you had export talk happen. So a lot of conversations have been going on about corn being shipped out of the PNW to China. Most of the time we get this sort of rumor and we'll get a little pop in the corn market and that's it. That's all she wrote. We don't see anything happen in freight, anything happen in basis, and that pretty much tells us that it's just a rumor. But yesterday we actually did see the pop in futures as a result of the rumor and a strengthening in basis. So a lot of folks are saying that there must have been something there, so we'll be waiting until about 9 this morning, we should see if something was actually contracted yesterday. It should show up in the USDA export sales flash that typically comes out about 9 a.m. So a lot going on, and yep. I haven't even touched on hogs yet.
Which is a good segue into my next question. So when we look at the hog market, we saw some the Chinese bought some hogs here last week or first part of this week or something like that, whenever it was, and there was some, you know, it's hard to get information out of China. You know, you don't know for sure what's happening there with the hog market. But right now it looks like they've lost about 20% of their overall hog market, which would be more hogs than we could produce in the U.S. in the whole year. So that's a big chunk of animals that are buying, you know, eating feed and everything else that goes along with that. But it's also a staple diet part of the Chinese diet. So what effects do you see happening right now with hogs, and where do you see that, that market heading, you know, going into this coming week and in the future?
Yeah, I mean, the hog market is to the moon right now. You know, when the cattle market takes off, we have certain characters on Twitter that'll post the Hereford strapped to a rocket. Someone needs to Photoshop a hog and place the Hereford there. So, I mean, it's a huge deal. So it's not just the hog herd downsizing in China that's major. It's the sow, the breeding stock downsizing. So the breeding stock is yeah, that was where the big conversation came from. The estimate is, you know, upwards of 7 million sows have been culled because of this disease. And so that's larger than the U.S. sow herd as a whole. So that's a huge deal. It's something that we need to be paying attention to. Yesterday's export sales came out. We actually saw Mexico this time responsible for nearly half of the purchases, with China in second place taking a bunch in. Both still have tariffs in place on their pork imports. So that's a huge development in the sense that, you know, because the prices got so cheap and all of that good stuff, I mean, they're still looking to come in and buy. We're also seeing speculative money out of New York pouring in to the market structure. From what I understand, they're really looking to buy April 2020 calls. We're talking about millions of dollars being spent on this April call. And that's also huge. And typically, if you start to see the speculative money pouring into the option side, you'll see that the typical traders, you know, your normal everyday hog traders coming in and buying heavy on paper. So, you know, today would be, if we could manage to close Loon up, it'd be the third day in a row. I don't know if we've seen that before. I'm sure we have at some point, but it would be a pretty big deal. I would not be surprised to see a little bit of a breather taken today, maybe, you know, meaning more so that we don't close 675 higher, but I guess we'll see. I mean, it's a huge story. And the other question is, with the prices as cheap as what they were, I mean, in February, we were looking at 10-year lows, multi-year lows when it came to product values. And so did you see some contraction in the U.S. hog herd? So if you saw a contraction in the U.S. hog herd going into what could be record-setting increases in demand, you know, you can't get more bullish than that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it'll be interesting to see really what happens there. And you know, the idea is rising tide lifts all ships, right? So a lot of folks are expecting, you know, the cattle market to stay strong as well, because if that gets too cheap, then people replace pork with beef and things of that nature. So a lot of fun, interesting, always developing things going on. And I haven't even talked about Chinese trade negotiations because I don't want it anymore.
Yeah, it's getting old. Yep. the other thing I want to hit on real quick was, when you look at the corn and soybean planting season that's coming up here real quick, you know, we've got a lot of rain in some pretty significant parts of the corn belt, and as well as, you know, still a lot of snow to melt, and there's a lot of flooding going on right now. So as you take a look out there, what's your opinion of how planting delays are going to affect the market moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, right now, we're already playing the game of hot potato, you know, when it comes to rotation, basically meaning there is nothing out there that really is like the golden child that should be collecting, you know, all kinds of interest. The November soybean board had been staying in that 965-970 range. That was encouraging for planting. I think now it's fallen back to 940 or so. Kind of brings it into question. But obviously, if weather continues on the path that it's on, if we see continuation of flooding and heavy rains and things of that nature, you know, I think that you'll really start to see folks just kind of turn their attention to soybeans because they have to. Spring wheat prices are below the cost of production as well, so no one's in a big hurry to dive in head first when it comes to spring wheat. So, I mean, there's really a lot of things that, you know, price could still change decisions. Obviously, you know, across much of the northern corn belt, you know, where I lived out in Iowa and places like that, Mother's Day weekend's really when you start to scratch your head about what you're going to be doing and making decisions. So we're still 6 weeks away from that. You know, so we have some time, but at this point in time, based on, you know, the delays that we saw at the last fall, we didn't get the work done that we wanted to anyway. So based on that alone, getting the corn acres in that we thought we were going to get in was going to be harder, you know, than anticipated in the first place. You know, couple that with the weather the way it's been, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see corn sticking around 90 million acres or so You know, and I really would have to put a pencil to paper and kind of wrap my mind around what prevented plant would look like. I mean, obviously that conversation that could come about, but at this point in time, I'm going to be one of those people and say that, you know, we're still, you know, 2 or 3 weeks early, for really kind of getting nervous about what's going to go on. But I'll be interested to see what the, you know, the survey results look like next Friday that the USDA is going to be putting out, you know, on the 29th.
Yep. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of moving parts here, Angie. So if folks want to reach out to you, pick your brain, or maybe just ask you a little question about what you see happening in the marketplace, how would they do that?
You can find me on Twitter at Goddess of Grain, or you can email me at acenter@citizenselevator.com.
Right on. Well, Angie, have yourself a good weekend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You too. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Moving Iron Podcast, now part of the Global Ag Network. If you'd like to continue any of these conversations, you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. You can also send me an email at Moving Iron Podcast at MovingIronPodcast.com. You can also visit the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel and watch Market Roundup with Chip Mellinger, Sean Hackett, and Angie Setzer. Also, Tax News with Glenn Birnbaum. Please visit MovingIronLLC.com. Here you can find information, details, and updates for the 2019 Moving Iron Summit in Nashville, Tennessee. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can leave a review and subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and GlobalAgNetwork.com. So until next time, let's go move some iron. This is Casey Seymour. Out.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people. Working hard for you and me. Moving higher, time and time again. Through the years, you'll find a seed.